My goal this morning is to take something you have known all your life and probably have taken for granted and turn it into something that is infinitely precious and supremely valuable, a treasure that will transform your life. Are you ready? Let us encounter the Lord's Prayer like we have never before. We begin with just one verse. The beginning of the prayer Jesus taught us when he said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Let us pray. Lord, this is your word spoken to us by your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Teach us what it means to pray, "Hallowed be your name." Teach us how we can be radically changed by a proper understanding of your holiness and through the holiness of prayer. That we would be transformed by this prayer. As we pray in the powerful, precious, infinitely great name of our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our journey to the cross and beyond through prayer ought to be, and indeed must be, an encounter with God Himself. Our journey to the cross through prayer is a journey to a transformed life, because in prayer we encounter a life-transforming holiness who is God Himself. In this simple verse, we begin to encounter God. And if prayer is not an encounter with God, of coming into His presence, of drawing close to His person, of catching a glimpse of His majesty and power, if that's not what prayer is, then it's simply so much noise and talking to ourselves. God is the supreme majesty we encounter in prayer. And this infinitely beautiful and glorious being has made himself known to us as Father. And he's made himself known to us as the one who is supremely holy. No one has ever encountered even a glimmer of God's holiness and not have been radically transformed by it. The angel who once announced the birth of Jesus to tired shepherds brought just a glimpse of that glory into their night, and it terrified and awed them as nothing had ever done before. And they were radically changed. Gideon was transformed from a fearful farmer to a mighty warrior by such an encounter with God through an angel, bringing just a glimpse of God's glory into his life and world. Moses met with God and experienced just a glimmer of glory, and yet his face glowed with the reflection of God's holiness. Isaiah was called to be a prophet of God. His life, believe me, radically transformed as he was in the temple one day and he saw a vision of God's holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory. It was a life transforming glimpse of God's glory. As we begin our journey through prayer, through this prayer of Jesus, we do so by getting a clearer picture, a more accurate view of who God is. The Lord's Prayer, the prayer Jesus gave us, first and foremost, directs our attention to the Lord, to who God is. And let's catch a a glimpse of that today. Let's get a clearer picture of that today. Unless we have a clear picture of God, we cannot pray as Jesus intended for us to pray. God is holy. And prayer, if nothing else, is an act of supreme holy behavior. The holiness of prayer. Last week we learned of the relationship of prayer, that God is relational at the core of his being, and prayer makes no sense. Indeed, it's impossible for us to pray without a relationship to him. And so the first thing that Jesus teaches us is that he's opened up the way, he's opened the door so that we can come before the throne of grace, into the very throne room of God. Jesus Christ has made that relationship possible, and he directs us, he leads us to the throne of grace to say we can come confidently before the very throne of God. Our journey to the cross and beyond through prayer is a journey first and foremost then with Jesus as he is our guide. Jesus taught us this prayer, and we can only pray this prayer, and even more importantly, experience the truth and reality of this prayer through Jesus. And that's what it means when we pray in Jesus' name, that he's opened the door so that we can have this relationship, we can come before this holy and awesome God who is our heavenly Father and encounter him in his holiness, in his greatness, in his glory. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy." Now, our problem is we don't really have a proper understanding of the holiness of God or even what the name of God actually means. Our problem today is that we don't understand holiness. Nothing in our experience is holy today. Nothing is sacred. We want everything to be ordinary. Let me take one example. I've used it before. There's a trend today to take what is supposed to be special, sacred, and just trash it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, do an online search for trash the dress. Trash the dress. A wedding dress is supposed to represent the purity that a bride brings to her marriage and the purity she pledges to her husband for life. One day, we're going to be wearing a wedding garment, those who trust in Jesus, because we're to be the bride of Christ and dressed in a white garment. Whiteness signifying the good works of the saints that we have through Jesus Christ. The wedding dress is not supposed to be something that is to be soiled or dirtied, and yet it's trendy today for a bride to trash her dress by literally dragging it through the mud. There's a lot of people who want to trash the name of God today, because to trash God's name is to bring God down to our level, to make him ordinary, so he's nothing special, to profane him. The word profane just means to take what is meant as holy and just to get it muddy, to make it ordinary, nothing special. And if we don't understand that God's name is something special, not to be sullied, we're going to miss the whole meaning of prayer. The name of God is meant to be our most valuable treasure. Luther said it this way, "Since we call God our Father in this prayer, it is our duty always to act and behave as godly children, that God may not receive shame, but honor and praise from us. God's name should be valued as the greatest treasure that we have." Martin Luther. God's name should be valued as the greatest treasure that we have. But why is God's name so important? I mean, isn't it just a label for God? Isn't it just a title? In the Bible, God's name is the revelation of himself, which includes how he has revealed himself in Jesus. So when we speak of the name of God, we're speaking how God has revealed himself to us. It reveals the character and attributes of God. The name of God represents everything that God is. And so when we say, sanctify your name, hallowed be your name, may your name be kept holy, those are all synonyms, we are praying that God's name would be lifted up as our greatest treasure, because God himself ought to be our greatest treasure. And the name of God is known through the Word of God. He's made himself known to us. God's name is glorious and awesome and majestic and supremely holy. Jesus teaches us that the first priority of prayer is to pray for God to be glorified. That's what we're asking for when we're saying, God, may your name be kept holy. We're really addressing God. It's saying, God, sanctify your name. Make your name holy. Well, God's name is already holy. And Luther tells us we want it to be holy in our lives, but not only in our lives. We're asking that God would defend his name and make it supreme in all the earth, that all people everywhere would treasure who God is and glorify him in their hearts. We are praying that God would exercise jealousy for his name. He says he is jealous for his name, jealously in a good way, to say there is nothing that is supposed to come before God. And that's what the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. We pray that God would display his greatness, that God would overcome blindness to seeing him, that God would overcome indifference to believing in him, that God would remove all the obstacles to knowing him and admiring him and loving him and obeying him and treasuring him. All of that and so much more is what Jesus is teaching us when he says, hallowed be your name. We pray that God would make his name supreme in our hearts and in the affections of the whole world. It is our plea that God would cause his name to be made holy in us and in the world. Here again, what was read this morning from Psalm 96. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. All of that and so much more is what we mean when we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, we pray this because we've come to know through Jesus Christ this awesome God in a personal way. To know God personally, though, is not to bring God down to our level. To know God personally isn't to say, yeah, he's just my chum. We sometimes talk that way. We want to make God so personal that he's nothing special. To know God personally is not to bring God down to our level. It is to bring us up to his level. We don't pray our Father on earth. We're praying our Father in heaven. He brings us up into the very throne of grace in heaven. God lifts us out of the mud and mire and transports us into the holiness of his presence. In Revelation 4:1, John sees a door wide open in heaven, and he hears the voice saying, come on up. Jesus Christ has opened the door, and he's saying, come on up. Come up to my level. Begin to experience my holiness. It is, in fact, our highest aim. The supreme purpose of prayer is the purpose beyond all other purposes, and it is to glorify God. It is the very reason for our existence. It tells us that in Isaiah 43:7 that we were created for God's glory. And prayer is nothing if it doesn't glorify God. It's not about us. It's not about our needs first and foremost. It's about God being glorified. Now, God will be glorified as he blesses us and he meets our needs and all of that comes. But first and foremost, we got to get this picture of who God is or we can't begin to pray. We ought to love these words. Hallowed be your name. Of course, before we can love them, we got to know what it means. The word hallowed elsewhere in the Bible is translated sanctify, which is to set apart for God, to make it just for God. And that's what Jesus meant when he said we're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's what it means to sanctify God, that he would be holy in our lives. Hallowed be your name. We ought to love these words. They should fill us with a sense that we have a profound and wonderful calling, the calling to pray, and in our praying to move the mighty hand of God to act for the glory of his great name. Are we getting a picture here? You might think, Pastor, you're getting a little excited about this. I'm just beginning to understand. After 62 years of life, after I don't know how many years of being a Christian, after almost 35 years of being a pastor, what it really means to say and to pray, hallowed be your name. Psalm 72, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Father in heaven, make your name holy in all the earth and in my life as well. We were created for God's glory. If God's name, in fact, is glorified in our lives, it will transform us. If God's name is glorified in our city, it will transform our city. If God's name is glorified in this state, oh Lord, help us. It will transform this state, in our nation, in our world. It will transform us if only God would be glorified. And that's what we pray when we pray, hallowed be your name. As I read earlier in the book of Isaiah, when Israel sees God's great works and his salvation, his redemption, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob. And they will stand in awe of the God of Israel. So if you want a few suggestions about how you can do this, I've listed them for you. How are we going to glorify God in prayer? How are we really hallow his name? And so when we pray this prayer, don't just quickly get past these words you don't understand. When we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, this is what we're praying. We're praying to sanctify God's name. We're praying to call upon God's name, to love God's name, to sing praises to God's name, to bless God's name. I forgot to glorify God's name, to exalt God's name, to trust God's name, to give thanks to his name, to glory in God's name, to proclaim God's name, make it known, fear God's name, that is, reverence it, praise it, sing praises to God's name, and pronounce blessings. You can bless other people in God's name. It's just a sampling of the richness of Scripture, what it says, to hallow God's name. It is and ought to be our greatest treasure. It is and ought to be our highest aim. And it is and ought to be our greatest joy. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. It is our greatest joy. Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. It is our greatest joy. Psalm 97. Light is shown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, all you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. It is our greatest joy. Rejoice in the Lord, in his name. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them. Take in God's word, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name. It's our greatest joy. John 16:24. Jesus said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask in my name and you will receive, and your joy will be full. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that God will hear our prayers when we pray according to his will. Do you think that God will answer our prayer when we say with all of our heart, hallowed be your name, Lord, glorify your name in my life and in all the world? It is our greatest joy to see that happen. We pray in Jesus' name because it is the name above all names. And now when we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, it includes what Jesus has done for us. And indeed, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, as I reread this, I realized how audacious these words must have seemed to any good Jew in the first century. Because God's name was so holy and so awesome to the first century Jew, they wouldn't even pronounce it out loud. And yet Paul writes, therefore God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. That was what they called Jehovah God, Lord. Is Lord to the glory of God the Father, the name that is above every name. God is holy. He is glorious, and to experience him is to encounter his splendor and majesty and be in awe beyond anything that's ordinary. God is powerful and majestic and glorious beyond all our imagination. And yet God is also sheer goodness and love. He's gentle and patient and kind, and all of that is what we mean when we say, God, glorify your name in my life. Let it be found holy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it talks about being transformed by God's glory. When we get a glimpse of his holiness, we're glimpsing the very glory of God, for the holiness of God is the glory of God. And to encounter the holiness of God is to be transformed by that glory. Hear carefully these words from 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we with unveiled face. You have to go back and remember that when Moses met with God, the experience was so glorious that his face literally shone with God's glory. And he put a veil over his face so that the people wouldn't just be staring at him. It says, as the glory was fading. He says, we with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Why do we pray, God, glorify your name? Because when we do, it is life transforming. When we get a glimpse of the glory of God, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to the other. The reason we glorify God's name, we ask God's name to be exalted, isn't just so that God can receive a whole bunch of praise and kind of feel good about himself as if he doesn't already. No, it's that he wants to lift us up to his glory, to his level. He wants us to be transformed so that we begin to reflect His glory, just as Moses' face reflected the physical glory of God, that we can reflect His glory in His goodness and kindness and gentleness and patience and love. Let's just take, as we close, two pictures of God's glory. The one I already shared with you in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple, and above Him stood the seraphim, and each had six wings. With two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The whole earth is filled with Your glory." The second, Revelation chapter 4. The door was opened in heaven, and it says, "He heard a voice, 'Come on up.'" And this is what he experienced. A throne stood in heaven, and He who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures. And the four living creatures, each of them had six wings. And day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created. Worthy are You to receive glory and honor and power." Pray with me just through the first petition. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. O Lord, may that be true in us now that we begin to understand and catch a glimpse of what it means that in our prayers, You be glorified, that in our prayers You be kept holy, in our prayers You be exalted as the Holy One. O Lord, be that in our lives, and be that in all the earth. Lord, teach us the holiness of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.